Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, thumma alhamdulillah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala alayna kitabun mubeen. All unqualified praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear. Wa kana akhru ma nazala min ayatihi, and revealed its last ayah. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمات ورديت لكم الإسلام الدين. This day have I completed for you your way of life, and have perfected my favor upon you, and have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, and I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكِ, his is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ, to him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, in his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and he has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ, we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his last prophet. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi, and upon his family wa sahbihi, and upon his companions ajma'een. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was already happy when I was sitting down thinking about you. I know I'm out of order, okay. But I was already happy when I stood up. But as I looked in your faces, I got happier. I got really happy. But let's go on with the khutbah, because we are shortening our time here. أما بعد وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك الدين قيما. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. This is the fifth ayah. This is the fifth ayah of Surah Al-Bayyinah, chapter number 98, Surah of Quran. And an expression of it is, and they have been commanded no more than this, to worship Allah, offering Him sincere devotion, being true in faith, to establish regular prayer, and to practice regular charity. And that is the way of life, right and straight. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Hadith reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that while a person was in the wilderness, he heard a voice from the cloud commanding it thus, irrigate the garden of so-and-so. After that, the clouds slinked aside, they moved away, and poured water onto a stony ground. It filled a channel, and amongst the channels of that land, and that person followed that water, and he found a person standing in the garden, busy in changing the course of the water with the help of a hatchet. That is, he was digging grooves so that the water could flow in a certain direction. He, the traveler, said to him, servant of Allah, what is your name? He said, so-and-so. And it was the same name, the very name, which he had heard from the clouds. And he said to him, servant of Allah, why do you ask me my name? He said, I heard a voice from the clouds, of which is the downpour, saying, water the garden of so-and-so, like your name. What is it that you do? This is the traveler questioning the gardener. What is it that you do for this favor shown to you by Allah? And the gardener said, since you asked me, I look at what yield comes from my garden. I give one-third of it in charity out of it, and one-third of my children eat from it. That is, one-third of it I feed my children from it. And one-third I return to the garden as an investment. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are working our way through the five daruri, the five obligations for building ummah. There are five necessities. You know them all by now. I could have you all repeat it since you've been listening for these months. Family, intellect, religion, the self, and property. We're at the fifth of those five. Daruri, and that is mal. That is the property. And we are addressing today under the heading wealth and the will of Allah. Wealth and the will of Allah. Last week we spoke about how it is a requirement of our nature. Zakat is a requirement of our nature. That is, we need zakat. Sometimes you just hear that one sentence, say, we need zakat. The first orientation is the masjid needs zakat, or the general treasury needs zakat. While that is true, that's not what zakat is for on the first order. On the first order is for the purification of us as persons. The thing that we need to understand, just like with our physical bodies. Our physical bodies, when we eat, all of the food that we eat is not nutrition. Some of it is dispelled as waste inside of our body. And it accumulates. And we have a system, when it's operating, mashallah, that moves the waste out of the various organs and parts of our body, and it moves it to the intestines, ultimately for it to be eliminated. That's the material waste, as well as the spiritual waste. Just as we have a physical body, we are a psychic body as well. Don't let Berkeley confuse you when we use the term psychic. Psychic, it just means it's soul. Psyche is a Greek term for soul. So we have a body that is our soul. And it too takes in things, and everything that it takes in is not useful to it. And so therefore there is waste. There is spiritual waste in our body. And the spiritual waste has to be eliminated as well. The spiritual impurities have to be eliminated as well. And in our physical body then, we have the likeness and the analogy of, let's keep it as clean as we possibly can keep. It's all natural, but you know, you got number one and you got number two, right? Okay? So when you understand number one, then you know that that's liquid. Number two, that's solid. So we have spiritual waste and we have material waste. And both of them have to be eliminated from our psychic body, the toxins and what is not useful, not good for our spirit in our soul, that has to go, that comes from our spiritual life. But then also we have a material life. Our economic life, our material life, our property life, that's like consumption. And that consumption, everything that comes into us through that material substance, what Allah has provided for us, it too has a portion that has to be cast off because there's some sharr, some potential harm in all of our material possessions. We do have to understand that. You can get real wealthy, and the wealth itself can destroy you. Have you ever seen anything happen like that? The wealth itself destroys you. For us as Muslims, the message is that zakat is given to us as the means whereby we eliminate the sharr from its, the sharri impact of material life on our psychic body, right? If you don't get rid of it, then you are allowing toxins to build up in your psychic body, and the harm that material wealth can do to your psychic body increases to the extent that you don't eliminate from it what should be eliminated from it. And the primary thing to be eliminated from all that Allah provides from us is Allah's rights in our wealth. Allah's rights in our wealth, that's not ours. The Bible puts it like this, will a man rob God? And say yes, through tithes and offerings. So anytime Allah has provided us with wherewithal, with means, and we don't recognize Allah's rights in what He has provided for us, we are stealing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in terms of salat and zakat, these are two obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us that that represent the elimination of the spiritual waste and the material waste, as I just described to you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, if a man has a river flowing in front of his house every day and he bathed in it five times a day, would there be any uncleanness on him? He said, no, he'd be perfectly clean. And the Prophet said, such is the five daily prayers. So the salat is a purification. Salat is a bath. Salat is where you get the sharr of your spiritual life off of you. And that sharr can come in the form of anxiety. It can come in the form of grief. It can come in the form of ingratitude. It can come in the form of unmindfulness. All these things will build up in us and become a part of our character and our undoing when we neglect our prayers. I had this piece on my refrigerator for a long time. It said, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. Okay? Likewise, zakat, as it relates to our material life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا. Surely he grows, مَنْ زَكَاهَا. Surely he succeeds, a translation is, surely he succeeds who practices zakat, who causes it to grow. And that is what zakat does. Zakat purifies and zakat causes growth. Very important. And so the protection and the extraction or the elimination of harm, as we've just described, with regard to our material life, is eliminated in the form that is eliminated as. That is, what does the elimination of the shar of our material life, what is it made of? What is it? Well, one of the things that happens for us, one of the things that purifies us from the material perspective, is the grasping. There are things that we want to hold. This material life, listen, please. Just think about yourself without, just, you're not a Muslim, just put it like this. You're not a disbeliever either, but you're just not a Muslim, okay? And so you get wealth. And all you got to do is look at TV screens, social media, blah, blah, blah. What is everybody trying to get? That bag. Everybody's trying to get that bag. Everybody's trying to get that stuff, trying to get that money, trying to get that wealth. That's what they're after. So they're what? Grasping. And then when they get it, they went, oh, I ain't letting none of this go. So now you're grasping. All of this is the sharr. This is the potential harm that all that grasping and getting and having can do to you, because you'll be so stuck on holding on to that bag and getting that bag that you're willing to do anything. Horrible line in that series, his name is A Little Bit of Money. Just leave it alone. So it's like, I ain't never took the straight path to anything. Get rich or die trying. The mantra of some people in the world. Right? And so this grasping will cause you, and then again, you don't let go. Let me give you an illustration, and we're going to move on down the road. And that is it's all right. Let it go. We know that children, this is not their favorite place, and it's all right. So we can do more to create distraction, trying to fix it than otherwise. I appreciate it. But let's stay on track. Oh, I was just thinking about monkeys. You know how Africans catch monkeys, right? It's not one of the little ghetto jokes. No, I know. This is Discovery Channel stuff I'm talking about, right? So what they do, they give little bits of candy, a little bits of something that the monkey likes. And the monkey, and like Hansel and Gretel, they wind up at this jar, right? And there's more of what he's been liking inside the jar. So the monkey reaches inside the jar to grab the candy, but his fist creates an impossibility for the monkey to be able to get his hand out of the jar. And so when the hunter that's been trapping him follows him to the monkey with his hand in the jar, then the hunter can just grab the monkey, because the monkey, what, refuses to let go of the candy. If the monkey would just let go of the candy, he'd be free. But he don't have the wherewithal, doesn't have the instinct, doesn't have the willingness, doesn't have the wisdom to know that, hey, I need to let this go because this cat going to take me and eat me. Right? But don't be surprised. That's what happens to us. We get, we grasp, we gain, we benefit, and then refuse to give Allah's rights in what we've been given, and then Shaitan, who threatens us with poverty, takes us down another road. So we have to get rid of this grasping and motivation. And also where Allah says in the Quran, whoever is saved from the covetousness of their own soul, whoever can be that monkey that will let that candy go, they have indeed attained the greatest achievement. True human freedom, right? So along with other things, the more you accumulate, the more you acquire, and the more you can flex. I'm going to use hood language so we know what we're talking about. The more you can flex, right? But then the flexing feeds arrogance. Flexing feeds contempt for others. You don't want it. Nah, it doesn't mean that you can't have nice things because Allah wants us to have nice things. But don't let the nice things have you. There's a difference between having and being had. Right? Allah is the beautiful. Allah loves the beautiful. Look, I know y'all don't believe in Reverend Ike. But I did hear him say one thing one time where he said, do you represent God better in a Rolls Royce or on a bicycle? I mean, that's hard to argue with, right? So he said, you show Allah's blessings on you, but you have to recognize them like Suleiman. You have to acknowledge Allah's blessings on you and acknowledge as he did. He said, verily do I love the love of good things with a view towards the glory of my Lord. Allah Akbar. You got to be able to say, yeah, God do this for Muslims. But you got to be a praying and a paying Muslim. Not just flexing, right? When you flex, make sure you flex for God, all right? Inshallah. So salah and zakat, we have to do it just like we have to eliminate number one, eliminate number two, in order for us not to be poisoned and intoxicated, if you understand what I'm saying, in our psychic body. And so it's like if you're intoxicated in your psychic body by your failures of prayer and your failures of zakat, then how can you go straight? You can't go straight. So let us understand this, brother and sister, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our way of life is din al-fitr. It's the way of life that's established on the pattern of nature. Our psychic body is psychic body is mirrored in our physical body. And so I've already explained to you. Just like you have to take care of your physical body, you have to take care of your psychic body. And there are normal ways by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala automatically, because these urges to eliminate, etc., Allah hasn't left it exclusively to us to decide that, no, I'm not going to do it. No, the body will force you to do it because it's required by nature because the body wants to stay alive, okay? And the Quran says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says, and your body has rights over you. Your body has rights over you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us a way of life that is natural. And our way of life is the way of life of the original nature. So now what he has given us in the five pillars of al-Islam is the algorithm. I'll put it that way. He's given us the software that when we implement it, when we utilize it, it will, in the nature of our body, do for us what Allah created it to do. And it is to cause us to succeed at the highest levels that is possible for us living in this life and the highest possible benefit in the life that comes after this life. رَبَّنَا عَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر بسم الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Allah says of our way of life, فِطْرَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. It is the original nature, and that speaks about the material, the cosmic order. فِطْرَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. He fashioned and he originated man upon the pattern that's in the nature of creation. This is how we can say and be true that there is the material, the macrocosm, and there's the spiritual, the microcosm. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَيَاتُ لِكَوْمِ يَتَفَكِّرُونَ, saying, surely in this, speaking of many things, surely in this are signs for those who grasp the concept. The creation is filled with signs. And what's the purpose of signs? The purpose of signs is to guide you to a particular destination. We say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. We ask Allah in every prayer, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ, show us the straight way. That is, show us the way to get to where we should be going. And how does Allah do it? He does it through giving us signs. But then you have to know how to اِقْرَى بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ. You have to know how to read the signs in the name of your guardian evolver, the one who is set the pattern, has set the pattern for you to move through and to, but he gives you signs along the way. But if you can't read the signs, then you can't make progress. Okay? So this is why the first revelation that was given to us by Allah to the Prophet, peace be upon him, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of the one who has set a pattern for your growth. So Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, he teaches us what is labeled as creation-supported social logic. Creation-supported social logic. And also scripture-supported social logic. Don't let these phrases throw you, I never heard that before. Oh, good, now you've heard it. Right? And I want to speak to you about the value of it, because the point is that every day, in creation, in ourself, are these signs.
Yes.
Which, if we but learn how to read them, we are never at a loss for which way to go or what to do. That's what guidance is. So let's talk about a little bit of that. We're gonna go on with this today. Anybody know anything? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just, you know, rhetorical question. You know anything about pruning trees? Pruning fruit trees? Do you know that pruning fruit trees produces more fruit?
Yes.
He had the answer right there. I'm gonna see if they got some graham crackers in there, inshallah, we'll get you one. He knew the answer. So, question. Pruning fruit trees does increase the fruit yield. It's a practice that involves trimming and removing certain parts of a plant. Walk with me on this zakat, because that's what we're talking about. You got zakat. Okay, that's a fruit tree. You need to prune it. You need to remove a part of it so that it can grow. I know I should stop right there, right? But you know me. If I got 5 minutes, I'm going to use it. So the proper pruning techniques can have several benefits. That's what I want us to understand, the benefits. And I want to, inshallah, share the sign in pruning, and how pruning is to us in our life as zakat. And even that verse that we said, قَدَ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا. أَفْلَهَا has to do with farming, has to do with gardening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in the garden, and we're trying to go to the garden, and Adam was supposed to be taking care of the garden, so we should be really horticulturally wise. Because Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتِ. Allah said, He created us growing from the earth like a plant. And we send our children to nursery school, and we send our children to kindergarten, children garden. So it's all in front of our face. So if we don't take care of the zakat from what Allah has blessed us with of mal and rizq and provisions, then we're not good gardeners. And we're not going to get the production. Move on. So one of the first things that happens, it increases sunlight and air circulation. You prune in a certain way, and so now more sunlight gets to it. And more air circulation gets to it. So more sunlight reaches the inner branches, and fruits. And this improves light penetration and enhances photosynthesis. You all heard me talk about photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is the ability, in human terms, or rather in psychological, in mental terms, it means the ability to see pictures and read the meaning from the pictures and be energized by that meaning. That's what photosynthesis is from a psychic perspective. Being able to read and make sense out of the objects, the abstracts, the things in the environment. Okay, so when you do zakat then, zakat improves your capacity for doing that very thing. You can study and study and study and study, but if you don't have that grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that removes all of the what obstructs the light, sunlight, the air, the spirit, you won't be able to see what's in what you're reading, even though you can be technically sound. Yes, Quran says it, and the Ad and the Thamud. I think it's interesting when we say the Ad, apostrophe A-D, where you usually read it in the Quran, apostrophe A-D. But you have to say Ad. Do you think we got some odd people in the world today? And they're pretty smart. It's something how you can run into some of these odd types. Damn, they smart. I mean, that's why they shut down a lot of people. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They shut down a lot of people. They're odd. There's another word for it, but I won't use that. I'm going to stay cryptic. They're odd, but they're intelligent. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of such people in the Quran, and of the Ad and the Thamud, Satan proved successful over them, even though they were blessed with skill and intelligence. So skill and intelligence, that's not enough. You need to have enlightenment and inspiration. When you have enlightenment and inspiration, now you can see where others, it's for them dark. But you have to prune the tree. You have to give the zakat. You have to open up so that the light and the spirit can come into your psychic body. Second thing, the removal of diseased and damaged wood. That's pruning as well. When you remove diseased and damaged wood. Listen, from what Allah provides, we've already said this, but I'll just say it and move on. From what Allah provides, all of it is not for your nourishment. It is also for the building of Allah's will in the world. So in your possession, when Allah's rights haven't been given from it, it's dead wood. It's no good. It's going to continue to not allow the tree to grow as it should grow because it blocks the way for, as we've said, light and air to get to deeper portions of it. That includes ourselves. So it removes the disease and the dead wood, pruning does. And then third thing, it stimulates the fruit bud formation. It stimulates the fruit bud formation. When you prune it, it makes room for more fruit buds to come out. For example, maybe it is that you give yours a cat and you're working on a business idea. And you're working on a contract. You're working on another stream of revenue. But you don't quite know which way to go in order to achieve that. Well, maybe it is that you give your zakat and Allah will bless you from avenues that you haven't even considered. Some of you know I'm telling you this from the Quran. the 65th chapter and the 3rd verse of the Quran. Let me see. I think I got it here somewhere. It says, and Allah will provide for him, who? The believer, the giver. Allah will provide from him from where he does not expect. Listen. And whoever relies on Allah, then he, Allah, is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish his purpose, and Allah has already set for everything a decreed measure. Please understand this. Please understand this. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, if a whole nation got together to give you something and Allah didn't intend for you to have it, no way for you to get it. And if a whole nation got together to deprive you of something that Allah intends for you to have, there's no way to stop it. Allah is going to do what he has already said he's going to do. So look, whatever you get, that's what Allah meant for you to get. Not more, not less, that's that. And so what you say is, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And give Allah's rights in it. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Fourthly and finally, it controls the size and the shape of this pruning. I know in... what's that little tree, Mr. Miyagi? I don't know what the name of it. Yeah, okay, bonsai, right? So bonsai. No fruit on here, but there's more wisdom for it to tell you, right? Listen, your income is your economy. Your income is your economy. Whatever wealth you generate by your activities, etc., that's your economy, right? And so zakat influences the shape of your economy. You can take that abstractly in terms of, is it good condition, bad condition? Or the direction of your economy, right? It's very, very important. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, moderation in expense is half of economy. When you give the zakat from it, your mind will think in other ways. You say, well, okay, well, I used to could do this. Okay, well, I'm going to have to either cut back on this or redirect on this because I got to do this zakat piece. I got to do that. So it reshapes your economy. All right? And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing us into the condition that he wants us to be in. Think about this. Do you know your destiny from Allah? Do you know? Do you have it in writing? Okay, look here. 2026, you're going to be exactly this place at this time. No, we don't know that. But inshallah, if we prune and we pay our zakat in the way that it should be paid, and we are charitable and generous in the way that we should be generous, maybe Allah will guide us and is guiding us to the good place that he wants for us. And so we take that in mind. That's the last thing I'll mention. There were 10 people who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of his companions that he promised Jannah for them. So these 10. One of those was Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, radiallahu anhu. And he was one of those 10. And one of his many characteristics was his generosity. Talha, who was also one of those 10, he used to say that all of the people, this is in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, at one time, all of the people in Medina were living off of Abdul Rahman. He said that one third of them had debts which he paid on their behalf. One third of them had taken loans from him that he never requested repayment on. And one third of them had received direct sadaqah from Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. So we have to keep in mind to improve ourselves in that way. And how that relates to our Jannah, how that relates to our future, how that relates to our destiny, how that relates to our growth as spiritual beings. We neglect that, it's to our own loss. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد والحمد لله رب العالمين وأكم الصلاة الله أكبر Thank you.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا رسول الله. To brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning with University of Mission Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we just aired yesterday's recording of Jumu'ah from Masjid al-Wateen, Wealth and the Will of Allah. We are in continuation of pursuing the five essentials, the five necessities, the five obligations for building ummah, family, intellect, religion, self. And now we're speaking of property, mal in the Arabic language. Before going further and asking you, inviting you as we do, to have your comments with the protocol in mind, have your comments this morning before we go further with this morning's lesson, inshallah. But just listening to the song of Da'iya, Muhammad Taha, rahimahullah alayhi, may Allah have mercy on her and grant her high station in paradise, alhamdulillah. You know, you think about gifts, the gifts of Allah to people. You know, Allah has given gifts. She's obviously, should be obvious to you that she's gifted lyricist, gifted songwriter, gifted voice. And all of that that was put together as Hijra, most of us know as Hijra, she's not the pinnacle of it all and the point of it all. I'd be surprised. Somebody would have to tell me if she wasn't. But the fact that her giftedness, I mean, we still benefit from it today, and nothing about it, you know, it's out of time. You know, it's like, okay, well, we're past that message. No, that's eternal message. And so we're thinking about in terms of zakat and sadaqah, right? That's a sadaqah from her. And we have this language, sadaqah jariyah. The sadaqah jariyah is the gift that keeps on giving, literally itself. And the giver is constantly rewarded for the gifts. I mean, just think about it. I look at Islamic Learning Institute. I look at Imam Qasim, his wife, and we know he had more than one wife, so don't nobody mess around and play with that. I say it as well. I'm only talking about one right now. And, of course, we know that alhamdulillah, Amina, Muhammad Ahmed, and the beautiful voice that she has for the recitation. So let me move Shaitan out of the way. But the point is that the tree that continues to grow from what he did, and people who continue, many in the world continue to enjoy benefit from what he did. Sadaqah jariyah. So I mean, I think we all should think about, what is it that I'm doing? What kind of legacy of impact? See, it doesn't always have to be money per se. It's whatever continues to benefit the society and individuals continue to benefit from it. As long as it benefits, it's going to be benefiting you in your life here and hereafter. So very, very, very important. Felt the need to say that. Comments, input before we continue. Push one on your phone. Come on through. I think this is El Haji. El Haji, is that you, bro? I think you might have.
But that's okay.
It's okay. You got something to say or no? Who we got? Haji. El Haji. Guess not, because I know he's working at this time, but he must accidentally push one. Anyone else? Push one on your phone, come on through, and we're going to go on, spend a little more time with the idea of that agricultural nature of ours. All right, going once. Seeing no respondents, All right, then what we do, we'll go ahead. Now, this is sort of like a maiden voyage for me because I haven't used Keynote on this platform since I've been here, so I'm not expert in it. Hopefully it'll show up well, because when I made this, you know, many years ago, actually, when I made this, it had some bells and whistles to the presentation that may not show up on the slide. This is a caveat to begin with, but we'll see how it plays out. I remind you that once I begin, I'm not looking at the studio for Blog Talk or at the chat for Facebook and YouTube. So I'm not ignoring you. It's just I'm not seeing it. All right, well, let's go with this. All right, let's see. Now, hopefully, you know, those of you who are multitasking here, I need your help because of the way that I'm beginning. I just need one notification. You know, you have my phone number. So text me and let me know what is on the screen, because the way that I have the screen up right now, I can't access the studio or the chat for that. But if the full screen presentation is on, then that's all we need, because we're just going to be going through the slides. So if you hear me, you have my number, you hear my question, come on, reply to me so that I can know that we can proceed. I really don't understand what's going on. Why I can't get no. All right, good. Okay. All right, excellent. I guess technology is not instant, because maybe that's the ramrod amount in there. So come on, tell me what's going on. Thank you. That's it. I got your replies. Thank you. You know who you are, so you'll remain unnamed. So I won't treat it like it's a competition of some type. Perfect. Thank you so much. And now we're going. Alhamdulillah. So this is a presentation we did. We actually formulated this. Alhamdulillah. I mean, it's no boast. I'm just telling you. We did this before the social media craze, right? Before these social media platforms that we had this friend. This is why it's Keynote, and it's like so long ago. Haven't even been using it. But let's get with the lesson, okay? So it is about the Quranic perception of personal development. The first of the components of this course, it was, of course, at that time, the signs in ourselves. And this component we aim at accomplishing three objectives. Clarify the most important sign for Quranic personal development by explaining what it is and explaining what it means. Show you how to apply the understanding of that sign to your personal development, and set the framework for the next components by explaining how the course arises from the keys in the first story of Adam in the Quran. So actually, that's what we're going to be talking about, that first story of Adam in the Holy Quran and how it relates to where we are here. Since the signs of Allah are the source of divine guidance, belief in Allah and his signs is the cornerstone of the Quranic perception of personal development. The story of Adam, our father, is also essential to the Quranic perception of personal development, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "All of you are Adam." This first story, an expression of it, this is before our display the Arabic phase. It is. Let me see if this audio here. I don't think I can do it. If the audio plays on it, no. And let's go back. So those speakers were originally audio, but it's not caught in this platform. But moving on, says, we said, Adam, we said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in the garden and eat of the bountiful things therein and where and when you will, but approach not this tree or you run into harm and transgression. Then did Satan make them slip from the garden and get them out of the state of felicity in which they had been. We said, get ye down, all of you, with enmity between yourselves. On earth will be your dwelling place and your means of livelihood for a time. Then learned Adam from his Lord words of inspiration, and his Lord turned toward him, and he is oft returning, most merciful. We said, get ye down from here, and if, as is sure, there comes to you guidance from me, whoever follows my guidance, on them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. But those who reject faith and belie our signs, they shall be the companions of the fire, they shall abide therein. Holy Quran 41:53 said that reading, let's go back. That reading was Surah 2, Ayahs 35-39. 41:53 is an expression. Soon will we show them our signs in the furthest regions of the earth and in their own souls until it becomes manifest to them that this is the truth. 36:78, it says, and he makes comparisons for us and forgets his own origin and creation. In following Allah's signs in order to achieve Quranic personal development, the first of the signs to be accepted and followed is the sign in our own selves. That image right there, that's the famous Leonardo da Vinci, I think it's called the Petruvian man. I think I got it right. Just the image of man. And you see in the square and in the circle, there's knowledge in there. I really just an aesthetic I put on the plate. I'm not trying to explain it, or it has no massive significance in what we're saying. Just thought I'd mention that. But in the bottom illustration there, you see the picture of the fertilized egg, then the fetus, then the baby, then the child, then the adolescent, then the adult, and then we reach old age, and then finally we die. That's the human cycle in this world, or of this world. And as we said, the verse, he makes signs and forgets his own creation. So we want to think of our own origin and our own creation. That origin and creation which Allah personifies as Adam. That Allah personifies as Adam. What is Adam in origin? What is Adam in nature? What is Adam in destiny? It's what we're speaking to. The fact that we first meet Adam in a garden, that's 2:35, tells us that metaphorically speaking, Adam, which is the human being, is agricultural by nature. There are many passages in the Quran and concepts in Al-Islam which allude to or imply that man by nature is metaphorically agricultural, meaning the sign of him, the description of him, that he is a personification, or his nature is personified by the agricultural. Okay, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah produced you from the earth like a plant growing gradually. This is God telling us who we are. He created the human being growing like plants. Believers, Allah describes the believers like grain. 2:261. It says the parable of those, meaning the metaphor, the allegory, the abstract picture, the personification of those who spend their sustenance. Here's a direct indication that Allah is saying, this is what happens when you give in sadaqah, when you give the zakah, when you do good deeds, when you practice charity. The parable of those who spend their sustenance in the way of Allah is that of a grain of corn. It grows 7 ears, and each ear has 100 grains. Allah gives multiple increase to whom he pleases, and Allah cares for all, and he knows all things. Here's what gets missed, and I know I missed it for some time, and so I'm comfortable in saying that it gets missed. This parable, let's walk through the English just sentence. Yeah. The parable of those who spend their substance in the way of Allah. Right, when you say subject predicate, right? So now the subject is those who spend their substance in the way of Allah. That's the subject, right? Then you have is. That's the verb, right? Then you have that of a grain of corn. That's the predicate, right? Mubtada and khabar in Arabic, we label them, right? So the khabar is the information. What is it? Here's the subject. And what's the information about the subject, right? The information about the subject, those who spend, da-da-da-da-da. What is the information about those who spend, da-da-da-da-da? Is that they are a grain of corn. It didn't say what them is a grain of corn. It's saying they are a grain of corn. You are what is being spent, right? And so much teaching can come through with this. I'm just going to touch it so that those of you who want to go further, those of you who want to deepen your understanding of it, then think about this verse and match what I've just said up with this subtlety in the verse. Subtle if you're not paying attention, if you're just reading and not, you know, trying to get to the lower or deeper layers of it. He's just saying, okay, yeah, it's talking about my money. It's talking about what I get. Yeah, if I give a dollar, then it's going to be $700. No. It's not talking about the money. It's talking about you, okay? But add to this so as to understand the explicit correlation between you as a giver. Literally, it's like the Quran says that those who give of their self and their wealth, right? So it's not, you're not just giving your wealth, you're giving of yourself, part of yourself that you're giving. That's what's going on in the real scheme of the universe itself. What the universe is experiencing, I'm putting it that way, you know, we give nothing to Allah. We give nothing to Allah. Allah already owns us and our wealth, right? But I want us to understand the mechanics of it, the cosmic nature of it, the lawful nature of it, how it relates to the will of Allah in the world. See, because there's some buttons that we can and should push, and there's some levers that we should pull that, the word trigger has been so, I hate to have to use it. I'm going to find another word. But it ignites certain behavior in the creation itself. This is a part of what this verse is telling us. But let's make sure we hold on to those two things. One is that you give, the believers are those who give of themselves and of their wealth. Min anfusikum wa amwalihum. They give of their self, and they give of themselves, and they give of their wealth, right? This verse is telling you, is describing the believer as the act itself is them that's giving. It's not what it is that they're giving. It's them giving themselves. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what one of the things that confers is that verse that speaks of it is not their meat or the smoke that reaches Allah, but it is their taqwa. It is your taqwa, right? So these physical things that we do in terms of giving money, acts of charity, good deeds, those are not the things that reach Allah. They don't reach Allah. They reach where they reach. What reaches Allah is that part of us that is one with of the order of creation. Our souls are one with the universe of reality. Our souls are one with the universe of reality. And what we do in our souls has impact, has effect, has connection with the universe itself. And so therefore this giving, it's not the physical material thing. That thing stays here. Whatever it is, it stays here. Okay? But what goes out and away from us to other places, I have to put it that way, in creation to affect action as the equal and opposite reaction. That's a material rule, a material law. But the material laws themselves are just reflections of cosmic spiritual laws. We've talked about this. Spirituality is the physics that we have yet to understand. So there's a correlation between what's happening in the material world as to what's happening in the spiritual world. And what we do physically affects us mentally, morally, spiritually, et cetera. All right, that's not spend all this time to try to say. So here you take those two verses, spending of yourself and your wealth, that's Quranic base. And then it's not the meat or the smoke that reaches Allah, but it's your taqwa. And so this parable here, it's saying it's you. It's not what you give. It's you. When you give of that, that's you giving yourself. And here's another thing to be understood. Saddaqah. When we talk about saddaqah, in essence, it means sincerity and truth. Sincerity. So it's not saddaqah if you're not giving it from your heart. If you're not giving it with taqwa. If you're not giving it in sincerity, then it's just something that you just took away from yourself and gave it somewhere, but your heart wasn't in it, your spirit wasn't in it, the love wasn't in it. Imam Muhammad points out to us that the correlate between sadaqah and love is the correlate between Muslims and Christians. What the Christians mean by love, and what Christianity, scriptural Christianity, means by love is what we mean by sadaqah. Is what we mean by sadaqah. So the point is just to understand. Don't think about your checkbook, and don't think about your paper money, and don't think about whatever it is that you give in that sense as that's the thing that you're giving. No. Every time you do that, every time you do, it's something of yourself that you are giving. It's like you planting yourself. Because you're a seed. You're a grain. So let's look at these seven and this 100 again now. It said, it grows seven ears. Who is it? It is whoever the subject is. And who is it? It is those who spend of their sustenance in the way of Allah. You're the grain. You're planting yourself with that act of charity. And then you're going to grow seven ears. Now, you know we can spend a lot of time with those seven ears. Students of the Imam, seven ears? I guess that would mean you can hear pretty good. You can hear on all levels, right? Seven ears. Right, and you can go talk about Joseph and the fat cows and the lean cows and the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, etc. It's not disconnected. You just got to decide you want to spend time with that, because Joseph was the one that came in charge of the storehouse and the rest of that. So it's all there, mashallah. All right, so but you now, we talk about you, your seven ears, So maybe right now you're only hearing out of one ear or one set of ears, right? And maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused you to grow to be able to see. I know I'm taking literally the ear thing. Yes, it's fine, but that's the first level, right? So hearing more, deeper, et cetera. But it's also just thinking about capacity, potential. The universal potential is represented by the number seven. And then it said on each of those seven is going to be 100 grain, right? 100 grain is that the potential, the realizing of the potential, the perfect realization of your full potential. That is, you got seven levels, and then you got 100% of each level. That's the perfect realization of all of your potential. That's what you are practicing. That's what you are aiming at when you give of your sustenance in the way of Allah. Take it lightly at your own risk. You know, it's like, that's a big deal. Just imagine if you believe that that's true. Imagine if you believe that that's true. That every time you're practicing that, you're practicing that whose destiny, if you keep it up, is intended for you to perfect all of your potential. MashaAllah. I mean, after all, what is a tree that bears fruit other than the perfection of the potential in the seed? After the tree produces fruit, what else is it supposed to do? Fly? Walk? It's like seed, fruit, more seeds inside the fruits. Perfection of all of its potential. Well, that's what's happening with each one of us. Let's move on. So the believer, here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, 265. And the likeness of those who spend their sustenance. So here it is repeating, like the making the same thing, not making the same thing, giving the same parable. So it's like if you missed it in 2:261, here it comes in 2:265, where Allah is saying, it was on this automatic keynote, move on. And the likeness of those who spend their sustenance seeking to please Allah and to strengthen their own souls. There's a subject again, right? So put all that together, it's the subject. Arabic would be much more condensed. Is, let's say, now here, this is the scripture again. 261 is saying they're like a seed. It's just getting started. It's planted, seven ears, 100 grain on each ear. So in 261, it's just talking about that giver as a seed. Now in 265, it's saying this is what comes of that seed. That seed, the 7 and 100, the complete realization of your universal potential that I talked about. Here's God saying it in 265. He's saying the likeness of those who spend their sustenance seeking to please Allah and to strengthen their souls is as a garden high and fertile. Heavy rains fall on it, but it makes it yield a double increase. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. You give, you have difficulty. You have challenges. You have burdens. You suffer losses. You suffer pain. You suffer things. That's that heavy rain, right? That heavy rain. Allah, we in the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where we ask Allah to purify us with water and snow and hail. That's quite a dua. Yeah. Water and snow. Each one is getting a little harder, isn't it? You know, water is soft. Snow is a little bit more hard than water, and then hail is like, I mean, it sounds pretty close to hell. Right, so I'm not going to interpret it to say, well, that's what it says. Yeah, give me hell, God. No, you're not really asking that. It's just saying that we want to be able to bear up under the trials and the challenges that Allah imposes, as good as good people, we recognize, speaking of the garden again, it's a dua that we all should learn and own, the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. I haven't learned it yet in terms of being able to recite it to you, but it's always something to go to. That dua that he made in that garden on the worst day of his life, he said. And that's after a Taif, when he was mocked and chased and stoned out of the city. And he sought refuge in a garden, and he made a dua in the garden. And he talked about the difficulty of his situation. He's telling God how bad it is. But then it basically concludes by saying, but nevertheless, if you're not displeased with me, then I am well. If you're not, it's like if I'm experiencing all this, but as long as I'm not experiencing it because you're displeased with me, I'm well, I'm fine, right? And that's like the Garden of Gethsemane, another garden, right? With Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before, according to the Bible, before what was reported as the crucifixion. Not going into all that, but he said, nevertheless, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ reported, I said, nevertheless, thou, he said, if this bitter cup can pass, let it pass. But nevertheless, thy will, not my will. See, that's Muslim, period. It's like, thy will, not my will. Right? Oh, this is hard. This is difficult. This is challenging. I wasn't expecting this. You know, whatever our human spirit might say. But the believer says, okay, this is what it is, and that's what it is. So the idea about the purifiers with water and snow and hail, it is saying, give me the wherewithal to bear up under even the most difficult tasks, right? In your name, in pursuit of obedience to your will, right? That's where we're supposed to live as believers. And so this verse is saying that those people who do that, and see, it is that giving, it's that habit of sadaqah, zakat, etc. It's that habit that builds up that wherewithal in you. I will say this one, tomorrow morning, mashallah, we'll be presenting for the Study al-Islam segment, and the theme of all the speakers, it's only going to be me tomorrow, but the theme of the whole this session and series for Study al-Islam is choosing faith over fear, And it runs our commentary, inshallah, will be running along the line of what I'm speaking to right now. So you should not expect water and snow and hail. You should not expect heavy torrential rains in your life. That's not real. That's not how life is. And you don't get to choose. Okay, God, I'll take that right there. Don't give me that. It's not, no, you don't get to choose. And what makes you ready for whatever comes by Allah's will is sadaqah, zakat, the willingness to be detached from results that we only like in this world, right? Let's get past this. So heavy rains fall on it, but it makes it yield a double increase of harvest. That is, the believer who is of this nature and who is of this habit, who is of this character, they do even better when they're faced with challenges. And if it receives not heavy rain, light moisture suffices it. That is, you know, the even little things. They get more out of even the little things. So I've interpreted it in this case as it relates to difficulty. All right. In the context, the other side, or another element of it is Allah blesses them with. So when Allah favors them, because the rain is a sign of the mercy of Allah, right? And so you get heavy rain, you get a lot of Allah's mercy, they give even more. They give even more. They yield even more. They grow even more. They're even more generous, right? and if they only get a little, then they are also pleased with the little. They're not ungrateful, right? What happened? Yeah, I used to be making $1 million. Now I'm only making 100,000, right? What? Like, come on. You're supposed to be good in all, under all conditions. If it's $1 million, if it's 100,000, if it's 10,000, if it's 1,000, it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the believer is always, if they get more, they give more. They get less, they are not ungrateful. Right? Let's move on. So, in the call to prayer, right? In the call to prayer, we have the line, Hayya alal falah. That is after Hayya alal falah, Hayya alal falah. And it translates into come to cultivation. Come to cultivation. The falahun are the farmers who cultivate. And that's who the falahun are. Hayya alal falah means come alive to the need to cultivate. So, sadaqa, giving good deeds, charity, zakat, etc. This is all a part of our cultivation because we are by nature agricultural. Not just in the physical sense, but in the metaphysical sense, we are agriculture. We are seeds. We are grains. We are gardens, etc. But we are also the gardeners. We are supposed to be cultivating ourselves. A word on Allah's use of the term mathal, amthal, which is, it means metaphors. Imam Muhammad says, when the Quran speaks of amthal or likenesses, that's when we saw in those verses said the parable of those who, whether it's his mathalahu, the parable of those, mathalul ladina, is that the parable of those who, it translates also into likeness, the likenesses. Of those. It means Allah gives us a picture in the form of language of the real things that He wants to talk to us about. He gives us something concrete that we can visualize first. In English, 102 is called a metaphor. It, that is the symbol of story, is a symbolic picture holding or enshrouding the real that God wants us to have or that He wants to reach us with. So Allah puts meanings, principles, values, ideas, concepts. He puts them into words and word pictures. And then they get delivered to us as revelation. And in the hadith of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does the same. It's delivered to us in terms of pictures, parables, stories, and words holding particular meanings. Okay. So here's the picture of us. In our cultivation, right? The elements of the metaphor of man as agriculture, that's what we're saying. We have an agricultural, metaphysical nature, a nature that is metaphysically agricultural, right? So where does it begin? The earth and the seed. The earth and the seed are correlates of the body and potential. That's what each of us are. Each of us is earth and seed. Each of us is body and potential. What else is needed for growth? You need winds, and those are spiritual influences. We all grow by spiritual influences. Spirit means obedience to certain influences. That's what it means, right? spirit means obedience to certain influences. So we all have spiritual influences. Some people get blown off the track. Some people get blown away, right? And some people get blown in a direction that's healthy and positive, et cetera. But all of us have winds. That's necessary. So you have to have the earth and the sea. You also have to have the wind. But then also you also have to have water. And what is water? Water are natural human sensitivities. You have to have natural human sensitivities. There's so many sensitivities that are unnatural. Shaitan promises, he says, and I will create in them false desires. That is, I will create in them unnatural sensitivities, right? To cause them to deface the fair nature, right? And then there's sunlight. You need sunlight. What is sunlight? The growth of consciousness and spiritual guidance. You have to become more knowledgeable of spiritual guidance. You have to know how to follow the sign, know how to read and understand and follow the signs in creation and in yourself. In the early verse that we have, I believe it's 41:53, but it says, God says, we will show them signs in the furthest horizons and in themselves until they know this is true. So you have signs in the macrocosm, and you have signs in the microcosm. You have signs in the material creation. You have signs in your spiritual reality. And you have to be able to read and understand that. And this is why we always pray, Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim. We pray to Allah, show us the straight way. I mean, I want to be on the right path, literally. Okay, well, you got to be able to read the signs. And you can only read the signs with the help of Allah's enlightenment, illumination, et cetera, et cetera. Rational enlightenment, right? All right. So that Adam was placed first in the garden reveals three major dimensions of our humanity, all right? Our human origin, our human nature, our human destiny. The fact that he was, that's Allah telling us metaphorically, telling us this is where you started, this is your nature, and this is your destiny. Think about it. We started in the garden, and what are we trying to do? We're trying to get back to the garden. That's what it is. We're in Quran, Surah 89, right? It tells us, return, nafsul mutma'inna, O soul, please and please then. Enter among my... into my garden, into my, among my servants, into my garden, right? So now it's Allah's garden. There's an author, Western author, but has a solid, I'm going to call it proverb. It said the end of the journey is not a particular destination, but it's to return to where you started and know it for the first time. So the object of us, we were Adam unconscious in the garden, and all that we experience is to make us conscious. So we return to the garden consciously. MashaAllah. So let's move on. So as to our human origin, the fact that Allah revealed man as being created in the garden means that the human being is originated in accordance with the order of nature. We are originated in accordance with the order of nature. Also, Quran, you know this very well. So set your face steadily and truly for the faith. Allah's original pattern, the one on which he made mankind. No change let there be in the work wrought by Allah. That is the standard religion, but most among mankind understand it not. That's 30:30, and that's a real core verse for everything that we are and all that our existence is made of. Our nature, the revelation that man was created and then placed in a garden, communicates that the human being is originated upon the necessary preconditions for success. This is algorithm information here. This is principles of action. This is creation supported, scripture supported, social logic, which if you understand it and apply it, you have a leverage in your existence that others, they don't even know that. You know, you're supposed to push that button over there. What are you talking about? You're talking about creation. You're supposed to push that button, watch what happens. Push that button, then. But there's some who can't even see the button, don't even know the button, don't even believe in the button. So they never reach up to push the button. So consequently, they don't succeed in the way that those who do, by Allah's guidance, succeed. So Allah is revealing to us in the origins of our condition, identified in the life of Adam, he's telling us this is what you need to do to succeed. First thing you have to do is set the preconditions for your success. In Imam Muhammad's book, some might miss what's in that title. The title says, Islam's Climate for Business Success. Islam's Climate for Business Success. You have to think in terms of grammar. What is the book about? It's about Islam's climate. It's about how Islam sets the climate. Huh? The earth, the wind, the water, the sunlight. Right? The climate. That's the climate. So you get those things straight. Now you've created the environment. You've created the climate for what you want to see grow. The Imam is telling us that God has shown us by what he reveals about our original creation. He's telling us this is what you have to do to succeed. So let me go ahead and read the quote. You probably read it by now. Imam Muhammad says, the Garden of Eden is the life we live on, the life that supports us. The garden is agriculture, and we know that agriculture has supported everything that has come after it. It took agriculture to support industry and industry to give us science. Everything that has supported the others to grow is, to bring us forward is a garden, right? Everything that's brought forward to support us is the garden. This is the garden, right? So the garden is the precondition. Agriculture support industry. Industry support science. What's the foundation? Agriculture. So your beginning is the foundation designed to support everything else. And so that the principle is that you have to first have the preconditions, and then everything is going to grow out of that. So whatever. So it's like you think about what you would like to see in the future. Okay. So, okay, you got that. Fine. All right. Wonderful. Go. Let's get there. Boom. But set that over there. That's your goal. Now, in order to get there, you have to ask yourself and answer, well, what are the preconditions to arrive at this goal? What are the preconditions? What are things that need to exist before we can ever have it? We can have that, but what is it that we need to do in order to get to that? Because if you never do establish the preconditions, you're never going to get to the goal. Excuse me. Your buzz is just digging in. Sorry. Then our human nature. So we talk about our human origins. And now we're talking about our human nature. 7 verse 10. This, you should study this verse. You should get the Arabic and work with that because it's so much in it. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. 7 chapter, verse 10, right? There's that 7 again and there's that 10. Right? We have 7 and the other one had 100. 7 is a pretty long chapter, too. I never looked at 7, 100. I don't know what's there. It may not be anything, but sometimes you just, intuition, just go look and see. But 7 and 10, it's in another way, saying the same thing that the 7 and 100 in the verse 5, 261. How so? Yes, 7, that's universal, right? And 100, the 100 is the realization of the universal potential, right? 10 is conscience. 10 is conscience, right? So that to develop a conscience, not just conscience like, oh, I feel so guilty. No, meaning that you have the science, conscience. That's what conscience says, conscience. Cut the word up. With science. But it also has to do with just consciousness, right? Just being, you woke up, right? The imam gives the example. Said, you know when a person is knocked out, right? You're in a fight, boxing, boom. What they give them? They give them a 10 count. The kid, if he gets to 10, he's out, right? So if he's up, then he's conscious again. But the point is, if you lose 10, you're totally unconscious. You gain 10, you're conscious, right? So you have conscious, but you have conscience in all of the universal potential. And so this is what this verse is saying, among many things. There's a plethora, an unlimited dimensions based on time, place, person, sensitivity, et cetera, that are inside of all the verses of the Quran. But we're talking about this one. So apply what I just said to this expression in the verse. It is we who placed you with authority on the earth and provided you with everything necessary to support your life. That's 7 verse 10. What does it mean? 7:10, it means what it just said. We have provided you with everything necessary to support your life. You have the universal potential if you become conscious of your universal potential. That's all you will ever need in order to support your life. But you have to cultivate it. You have to grow it, which means growing yourself. As we said, you're the seed. You're the seed. It's not your money. It's not your good deed. It's not your act. It's you. You're the gardener of yourself. This is the mystery of yourself. Where the Quran says, the Quran, we read it Tuesday. It says they make metaphors, they make similitudes for God and forget their own creation. It's like, man, you're trying to figure out God. You need to figure out yourself. How is it possible that you are the potential and you are the one that's cultivating the potential at the same time? How is that done? How do you, and who are you when you are the one looking at your potential, but you have to make that potential become actual in order for you, whoever you are, to get the benefit from the potential that was given to you as a responsibility and a possibility from your creator? Spend some time thinking about that. And maybe you won't spend so much time messing around with frivolous that don't mean nothing in the world. Move on. So it is we who place you with authority on earth and provided you with everything necessary to support your life. Small are the thanks that you give. You know that's a big story, right? So the garden is defined as the original condition needed to support life that follows it. By the same definition, a womb is a garden. A womb is a garden because a womb is also an original condition needed to support the life that follows, right? A womb is a garden. Mm-hmm. So we were all born in a garden, right? Now, our human destiny, human origin, human nature, human destiny. The fact that Allah revealed man as being created in the garden, and the garden is the final place of abode for the best among human beings, means that the human being is created to return to his original condition. We are created to return to our original condition. Back to the symbols again, right? The symbol of infinity. You know that symbol. But then when you turn it upright, it's an 8. It's a figure 8. And 8 is also a symbol of life and death and life after death, right? Life after death. Yeah, the first circle, this life. Second circle up there is the life after death, right? So you have this infinity that's happening. So you have your life in this world, then you have life in the world that comes after, and it's really about, it's all about you going from where you began to continuing to be you, but in life after death. I mean, death is just a door. Pass through the door. Now reality. This is reality. Ali radiallahu anhu is the one described as having said, man is asleep, and when he dies, he wakes up. Right now, this life, and God tells us in the Quran, said this life is matar un ghurur, Mata'un ghurur. It is goods and chattels of deception, one translator says. It's an illusion, not in any kind of devious, devilish sense, as some, you know, would say. The spiritual systems that talk about this creation is a flawed creation created by a flawed creator. Let's move on. So, no, this creation, it's an illusion. It's not what you think it is. As you grow in your potential for seeing and knowing and perceiving and understanding and comprehending, that seed, as it grows, oh, this is not really bad, it's that. Oh, this is not really bad, it's that. But what was it before you come to these realizations? An illusion. It's an illusion. You have to get past the illusion of this, that, or the other, right? And this is why, here's a little hint. Most of the right things to do and the right ways to be in this world are counterintuitive. Counterintuitive in general sense means, what does common sense say? Common sense. I'm not talking in the inspirational, revelational term, intuition. I'm just talking about just intuition. It's like, well, seems to me the simplest thing to do would be that. And maybe there's in that regard or whatever that might be, most people would say the same thing. Okay, so therefore it's intuitive. Intuitive is kind of like common sense. But the elevated reality, we could be talking about many things. I'm not being very specific, I admit. But because there's so many things we could just talk about. Let's go with charity, for example. With charity. Counterintuitive, right? Common sense, five senses, right? Common sense makes you think that, okay, I have this much. Now I'm going to take a part of this, and I'm going to give it for that. Common sense, intuitively, common sense. Okay, I'm looking at it. I had a lot. I had so much, I should say. I had so much, but then I took something from it, and I gave it over here. So then when I look at it, it's less. It looks like it's less, right? So common sense, intuition says that it's decreasing. You take something from it, it decreases. But see, on our low level of sensibility, to your five senses, it looks like it decreased. But you're not supposed to, the reality of your life, I'm talking to Muslims and believers. No, you're not focused on the quantity. You're not focused on this physical feature of this thing. It's not about that. We spend a whole lot of time about the meat and the smoke versus the taqwa, et cetera. So stop looking at the quantity. That ain't the thing. So, but then God told us that in the Quran, but then the Prophet tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, does not diminish by charity. Wealth does not, wait a minute. I looked at my bank account, took so much out of the bank account. I looked at it, looked number smaller. stop looking at the number. Wealth does not decrease by charity. So that's counterintuitive. In fact, you're actually increasing by charity. People would bring sadaqah and zakat, the sadaqah to the Prophet. Sadaqah, zakat is for the man. I'm talking about in the perfect original sense. They would bring it, and the Prophet would tell Aisha, give it away. When you bring it, give it away. So all day, people bring, and she gives it away. And then, so the Prophet came at the end of this particular day and says, what do we have left? She says, everything is gone. The only thing we have, lamb shank. And the Prophet said, no. He said, we have everything except the lamb shank. Give it away. Right? So counterintuitive. Right? See, so when we're on the level of just the five senses and just quantity and material sensibilities and material valuations of things, then it seems like wealth is decreased by giving it away. No, it's increased. It's multiplied because your wealth is not just what you see and what's with you. It's what Allah has on reserve for you, both in this life and in the next. It's what you have instigated, stimulated, and provoked to move towards you by that act. You've already started something else coming towards you now because of what you just did. So you just made an investment with your good deed. And that investment is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know the rest of those verses. Who is it that will loan to Allah a beautiful loan that Allah will multiply to his credit? I mean, come on. It's like that's our way of life. But it's also counterintuitive, right? Counterintuitive is that you have to give more to get more. Another thing is that, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there too. It's for me and for you. So we have the Muslim Movement activity, I believe it's at 12 o'clock today. It's a series that is going on with our health conscious young people trying to get all of us to, come on y'all, get it together. So we have the Muslim Movement activity. So it's like, a little kind of like y'all know about this Tai Chi scenario. You know, you see Asians in the park and others in the park, you know, doing Tai Chi. Yeah. So we got this Muslim Movement so we can start moving off some of all this. But see, I'm just saying that. I'm going to be there, inshallah, today. I'm saying that, you local folks, 1747th Avenue, 12 o'clock, what the energy, right, the idea is, but it's something that's said about new. I'm talking about counterintuitive, right? What the what nutritionists say, look, if you want to eat more, eat less. You want to eat more, eat less. What do you mean? If you want to eat more, eat less. Okay, if you overeat, you may wind up checking out earlier than you wanted to check out, right? But if you eat less, you'll be able to eat more because you'll be here longer to eat. So if you want to eat more, eat less. Also, the way that you get more energy is expend more energy. You have to exercise, movement, physical activity. If you do that, then you have more energy, right? But if you don't do that, you don't have that movement, then your weight goes up, then your movement and the challenges to your systems that support your movement, you're not going to be able to move as much because you won't have as much energy. Why? Because you didn't burn as much energy so that you would have more energy in order to benefit from that energy. So it's counterintuitive, right? So if you want more, give more, right? Eat more, eat less, right? You want to eat more, eat less. You want more energy, expend more energy. That's how it is. So in the same way, our life, to realize the destiny for us to really realize, we're going back to what we were, but we're going back consciously in this life and in the next. So our human nature as destiny means that it's man's destiny to return to his original state and nature, having fully flourished in his innate potential. That's 7 verse 10. Literally, it's saying effectively that. Your nature, when you have flourished fully in your innate potentials and you're fully conscious of those potentials, then you have received that everything necessary for the fulfillment of your life. And continue to read, it says, and to do so consciously, willfully, peacefully, harmoniously, in accordance with the will of Allah for his creation. That's our destiny. That's what we're seeking to do. Return to our original state in nature with the fully flourished and innate potentials realized, and to be so consciously, willfully, peacefully, harmoniously, in accordance with the will of Allah for his creation. That's our destiny. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, none of you will enter paradise except on the order of Adam. This means that we can't return to that state of felicity that is the garden until we return to our original nature, which is Adam. All right? So we have to be on the order of Adam. The garden is our origin. The garden is our nature. The garden is our destiny. The garden is us. Man is the garden. This is us in an image of our realized that this is a person. I want you to really see this. It's like, it's just a symbol of, I'm sorry, Block Talk, you're not seeing on Facebook, YouTube, you get to it later, that how beautiful, how cultivated, how aesthetically pleasing, how pleasant. That's how you're supposed to be and I'm supposed to be as a person, that people should experience us as pleasant, pleasurable, pleasing. Alhamdulillah, not being obsequious or sycophant, look them up. But it's just, man, that's a good brother. That's a good sister. That's a nice brother. That's a nice sister. That's a committed brother, a committed sister. The character of it. And the Prophet himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the believers are those that when you encounter them, they remind you of God. Right? And I take that not to mean every time you are, Bismillah, brother. No. I don't think that's what the Prophet is talking about. I think what he's talking about is just when you see the person, you think about that. And not in this, oh, here comes an angel. No, it's just like, just good people. They don't want nothing from you. They don't have an axe to grind. They're not automatically saying, look at, no, before we leave, they're going to start talking about blah, blah, blah. No. For a believer, your experience of them is such that they remind you of Allah. There's a kind of joking way that we, some of us meet each other in the street and say, man, when I see you, I know that the whole world ain't bad, right? So the idea is that there's certain things that certain people's spirits bring to us. And this is that note that I spoke of. It says, we shall not cease from exploration. And in the end, all of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. I'll end it there in that quote from T.S. Eliot, Nobel laureate. So all of your exploration is not about going someplace. It's about coming back to where you started and knowing for the first time. And that's what it is with us as Adam in our origin and then our slip and then the life that is a trial and a cultivation place for this world. And then the idea is to return to the garden. And Allah says in 2:25 and 26, but give glad tidings to those who believe and work righteousness that their portion is the gardens beneath which rivers flow. Every time they are fed with fruits therefrom, they say, ah, this is what we were fed with before. For they are given things in similitude, and they have their companies, their companions, pure and holy, and they abide therein forever. Allah disdains not to use the similitudes of things lowest as well as highest. Those who believe know that it is the truth from their Lord, but those who reject faith. Let me just say this real quick. The key of kuffar, the key of kuffar, the key of this thing that we call disbelief is the rejection of signs. Not just like, okay, well, I don't believe in that sign, but I do believe in that sign. No, they don't believe in signs. they don't believe in signs. They reject signs. So it's like they can't be guided because I don't believe in signs, right? That's very important. All right. So it says they reject faith. They say, what does Allah mean by this similitude? By it he causes many to stray, and many he leads into the right path, but he causes not to stray except those who forsake the path. That means those who don't believe in science. How can you be guided? You don't believe in science. So man is the garden and the key for his perception of personality or personal development in the Quran. As such, we are to understand that the real object of human life is the full expression of our innate potential, being productive and bearing fruit, as does agricultural life. That is what our life is supposed to be. The full expression of our innate potential, being productive, bearing fruit, just like all agricultural life. And the Garden of Destiny is present in our own souls, 91, 7, 8, 9, and 10 by the soul in the proportionate order given to it and its enlightenment as to its wrong and its right. Truly he succeeds who causes it to grow, and he fails who neglects it. The garden of destiny will be attained when the soul is fully flourished in all of its varied potentials. The revelation is the real quest, and the destiny of a human being is the discovery of our own nature. The prophet said, he who knows himself will know his Lord. And the ancient Greeks have this, know thyself. We had a quote from the imam that's no longer there. And the natural aim of human life is the blossoming and bearing of fruit like all agricultural life. However, unlike organic agricultural life, which has only one final fruit of manifestation of growth, each human being has multifaceted potentials. Let me say this also about wealth, right? This wealth, you have this multiplicity of wealth inside of yourself, but then also there's multiplicity of wealth in terms of human capital. We talk about this in our continuing in the series. But there's a lot of wealth beyond money, right? It's very important to understand that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, O soul, in complete rest and satisfaction, come back to your Lord, pleased yourself and well-pleasing unto him. Enter thou among my devotees. Enter thou my garden. We understand, translated at that time, we were looking at heaven. But no, it's our garden, his garden. Human destiny is a soul in complete satisfaction. It is rested because it will have attained its destiny. It is pleased because of what it will have achieved. And it is pleasing because achievements are pleasing to the Lord who created it, potentiated it, and guided it. God's gift to us is our potential, and our gift to God is to develop it, alhamdulillah. So this is not that course where we're trying to focus on personal exercises. Maybe you've discovered some since we've been talking here regarding that. So before we check out, mashallah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mashallah, I will go ahead and tell you, well, it wasn't my original plan to present that, but something led me to say, okay, well, let's go do that. And the timing, mashallah, is perfect by the grace of Allah. So I'm just going to tick through those of you commenting. Yes. Imam Fareed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran. Thank you, sir. And I know we're overdue. So we need to, mashallah, today won't be today. Alhamdulillah, Joyce Hasib, alhamdulillah, Imam, I never looked at myself in that manner. Thank you, may Allah continue to bless us, inshallah. So Jerome, assalamu alaikum. So the challenge is to apply problem solving by returning to our board, that is our original nature, yet tackle the world and my problems with that nature. Well, that's true. I know we kind of unraveled it a little bit, but yeah, because the solution to whatever problem is you face is already in yourself, all right? And it is about discovering that. But the challenge itself is what brings out the potential. So, and that's why in the matter of usri yusra, we don't run from the challenges. Y'all be sure, inshallah, if you can remember, check in with the Zoom presentation from Al-Islam, Study Al-Islam. Go to the website if you don't have the link, if you're not connected in that way, because it's that kind of thing that we're going to be talking about tomorrow, inshallah. 7 o'clock Pacific time, I think it's 10 o'clock East Coast time. Garden, very potential, how true it's seen every day. That's true. That's who we are. We're a garden. Allah's peace be on all. Thank you for joining us, mashallah. ACU folks, we got to get our rhythm back together, inshallah. We're coming. Everybody have a wonderful day.